from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up this morning on our forum program, we'll spend the opening half hour of the program discussing a controversial decision affecting the California State University system. It allows for no California graduate school admissions while permitting students to enroll who are international or from out of state. We'll also get to the heart of that matter and talk about the ongoing budget woes ahead for the CSU and the importance of the tax measure on the November ballot. Then at 9:30, we find out why a trio of environmental groups have petitioned for great white sharks to be on the endangered species list and come under the protection of the Endangered Species Act. Forum is next. Join us and join in after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum program. The California State University system is under fire for halting enrollment for in-state students for the 2013 spring session due to state budget woes, but allowing some out-of-state and international graduate students who pay full tuition. And we want to discuss the ongoing controversy in this opening forum segment. Joining us from Long Beach is Mike Uhlenkamp. He is a spokesperson for the California State University Chancellor's Office. And good morning, Mike Uhlenkamp.
Good morning, Michael.
Good to have you. Also good to have with us Mo Kayomi, who is president of San Jose State University and joins us from his office on the campus. President Kayomi, good to have you here. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
We'll also say good morning to Maria Nieto, who's here with us in studio, professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Cal State East Bay. And welcome.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Let me begin, Mike Uhlenkamp, with you. And let me begin simply by asking you directly, because a lot of hackles are up over this. It sounds, at least the way it's been reported in the media, like preference to those from out of state because, frankly, there's more money for those out of state.
Well, I think there's definitely a misperception of what actually is happening. So, you know, we have made the decision to reduce our enrollment system-wide based on years of ongoing budget cuts. We're currently receiving about $2 billion from the state, which is about the same level as we received in the late 90s, even though we are serving about 90,000 more students. So unfortunately, we've had to reduce our enrollment, or we're moving to reduce our enrollment. That includes the move to effectively shut down spring applications or the spring application cycle for 2013. The students that could potentially be admitted, that would be something that's at the discretion of the campus, and it's a very, very small number in terms of the non-resident graduate students.
Well, it's less than 5%, and I know you're reducing enrollments overall, but I'm wondering about the message that comes out when you exclude resident students. It seems to be, frankly, against the mission of the CSU and unfair to Californians.
Well, again, that has to do with the massive budget cuts we've received. Again, we've lost about $1 billion in funding in the last 5 years, $750 million last year. So, you know, the challenge for us is a funding issue specific to the enrollment of California residents.
And that funding issue, as far as looking ahead to the fall semester, will also depend on Proposition 30?
That's correct. There's a $250 million trigger cut that's tied to Prop 30. So we will know some more about that in November.
So, President Kayomi, what are you doing over there at San Jose State in light of this? You must not like this.
Well, I think whenever any Californians cannot, eligible Californian students cannot get to public education system, it's not good for California. It's not good for us as a state. Unfortunately, what has really happened is that the state of California, and particularly our legislators, have been cutting funds for higher education gradually for the last many years. And if you look at it even today, San Jose State is actually accommodating about, you know, 6% more enrollment, or roughly about 1,500 more students than what we were funded for. I'm talking about California State students. So I hope we can, this is something that all residents of California recognize, and also all of our public officials recognize and fund higher education in California adequately so we can accommodate all of California students.
Well, I think it's safe to say that most Californians are aware of the budget crisis that's facing not only the CSU, but the UCs and the junior colleges. The real question boils down to, though, is it really fair to say to residents, you can't enter a graduate program, but non-residents and international students can?
The whole issue of the fairness comes in terms of what kind of funding we're really getting. I think the problem is that the state of California has not really been funding us adequately. So we have been, and as I said, we have actually been accommodating over 1,500 students, more than what you're funding. But again, as you recognize, that there is a limit in terms of how many students we can take for the amount of funding that we have. I think this is basically, I think, a question that every Californian, every taxpayer, and every and our legislators really need to realize that based on their decisions and the way that they have been cutting higher education, what kind of an impact it's really causing for the state as a whole.
Well, so forgive me. What you're saying is because of the cutbacks, because of the budget woes, there's no alternative. Your backs are against the wall. You have to be discriminatory against residents of California?
I think it's not an issue of being discriminatory. We have always had international non-resident student in our campuses, and I think that that percentage that you're talking about hovers around that number. I think basically it's, you know, if you look at and during the regular semesters, even in the fall semesters when we admit most of our students, we cannot admit most of a large number of our even California resident students who are eligible. I mean, that's why every one of the programs in at the San Jose State has been impacted. Just to give you a number, for instance, last year, between our first-time freshmen transfers and graduate students, we had close to 45,000 applications, and the number of students that we could accommodate between our first and freshman transfers and graduate was, you know, roughly around 8,000. So we could not accommodate a large number of students in the fall terms. So basically, that's why the CSU decided that in order to be able to keep ourselves within the enrollments that that the state is funding us, we have to close a good number of campuses for the spring semester. And as I said, even with that, the number of California residents that we are accommodating right now is about 1,500 more students than what we are being funded for.
Well, Kayomi, again, is president of San Jose State University, and Maria Nieto is a professor in the Department of Biological Sciences at Cal State University East Bay. And Maria Nieto, like you, I'm a professor in the CSU system, but if I were a student, a graduate student wanting to get in and a resident of California, I would be pretty ticked off about this. And I guess you are going to defy and not go along with this.
Yes, because the practice is discriminatory. If there's not adequate funding to fund a particular graduate program, then the graduate program should be shut down for all students. It should not be selective to just allow non-resident or international students admission. It's not fair. It's not right. It sends the wrong message. And I really seriously worry about this as a precedent, as a very scary potential precedent that we are setting here.
So in defying it, are you essentially strapping yourself for less money and putting yourself in a position where you're going to get less revenue?
That's a possibility. But this is something that as a department, we all stand for. In fact, all of my colleagues, together with the chair of my department, are in unison on this. We do not want to discriminate. In fact, just this past Monday, I had to tell a prospective African-American student interested ultimately in wanting to achieve and get a PhD who wanted to enter the master's program that, I'm sorry, you need not apply because you are a California resident. That is the wrong message.
Well, we're hearing, obviously, the concern on both sides of this. And what I'm going to do at this point is invite you to participate, those of you listening. In fact, we'd like to hear your thoughts on this, and any questions or comments are welcome. We invite you to join us. This is a half-hour segment, so if you'd like to weigh in on this, the time to do so would be now. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. We do welcome your call, so feel free to join the program now at 866-733-6786 or email us, forum@kqed.org. Or post any questions or comments you have on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment. And we, as I say, like your participation, it's a real question boils down to, is this discriminatory? And if it is, should it be done away with? Or are Californians simply, the universities and the CSU system, too much against a wall here where they have no other choice but to look for other sources of revenue? Or are we creating a bad precedent here? I'd like to ask you that question, Mike Uhlenkamp, since you're speaking here for the chancellor. it may bring in more revenue, but it also may be a terribly bad precedent and may speak about future precedent or future things to follow that aren't going to make Californians happy.
Well, what I think is happening is that people don't understand the numbers we're talking about. So when we're reducing our enrollment, that's based on state funding again. So traditionally, we're bringing in 16,000 to 18,000 community college transfers in the spring. The number of students that came in as spring out-of-state graduate students, new students in spring of 2011, was 315 across the system. So we're talking handfuls. So I don't think it's discriminatory that a student from Taiwan is allowed to enroll in the business program at San Jose State. Whether that's 15 or 16 people in a finance class doesn't seem like a discriminatory policy to me. I think, if anything, the individual who's paying probably about $5,000 more for their education could supplement the education of California students.
So again, what about the example you heard from Professor Nieto, though? You have a student who happens to be African-American, wants to apply to a graduate program and say, no, you can't because you're a Californian.
It comes down to the funding again. So the state of California provides us funding for California residents. If they don't provide that funding, we unfortunately cannot participate and fulfill our mission, and that's the challenge. And I think that's what President Kayyomi had discussed, you know, at length, is that, you know, we've been cut by $1 billion. So that's what we're having to deal with right now.
All right. Again, you can join us by phone, KQED, or go to kqed.org/forum and click on this segment on our website, or email us, forum@kqed.org. Let me go to a couple of web comments. Donna writes, thank you for covering this. As a California taxpayer for 30 years, I have always voted for every bond measure for higher ed and lower ed, too. Now my kid can't get in? If you have to educate five Californians instead of 10 out-of-state kids, then that is your mission. If CSU thinks that I will ever vote for taxes again, they should know that I will not approve another dime for teaching out-of-state students. And another web comment, why doesn't CSU simply proclaim the graduate level study will no longer be subsidized by the state? California graduate students would pay the same as out-of-state students, but at least they would have an opportunity to attend. Let me go to your phone calls, and we'll go first to Davis. Colin, you're on.
Hi. I think that some of the guests are missing an element, and I think it might have been mentioned while I was on the phone with the screener. For every out-of-state student that a UC or CSU takes, they get more revenue than they do for a California student, because the state would normally pay for part of the cost of education. For every, I don't have the numbers with me because I wasn't expecting this conversation this morning, but for every three or four out-of-state or foreign students the UC takes, they can afford to educate one more California student and replace the money that the legislature would normally have provided. So it's not that we're using California resources to educate these foreign students. They're paying in more than their cost of education. That money ultimately helps benefit California. I'd rather see a system which everybody can get in. The legislature has decided that's not possible. This seems like making the best of a bad situation to me.
What would you say to that, Maria Nieto, that you're actually helping provide the necessary funds for some undergraduate students who are Californians? Yeah.
Correct. I can't speak to the budget specifically, but what I can speak to is a number of my colleagues from different departments around our campus have chimed in that the increase in acceptance of foreign students into graduate programs has actually decreased the quality of the students that they are actually seeing in the classroom. We are taking a lot of students, for example, that are not prepared because they can pay. And I really worry about this.
What about that concern and anxiety that Professor Nieto is expressing, President Kayyomi? I mean, it's real to think, is it not, about going down this highway and setting a bad precedent?
Well, first of all, I have to respond to Dr. Nieto's comment. If it is an issue of quality, that is something that we should not compromise at any cost. I think whether it's California resident students or it's non-resident students, as far as the quality of acceptance and the quality of the degree that we offer, there should not be a compromise there, because one of the things that CSU has always stood for is access and excellence. That's something that we should not compromise with. I think the whole idea that, as the caller was talking about, that, you know, we have been in a situation where actually by admitting some of those non-resident students, we are able to offer more courses that all of the students benefit from. And also, I mean, one of the other aspects that we have to remember, a good number of those in a non-resident students from other states as well as international have ended up staying in the Bay Area, opening many of the companies, being responsible for and for many of the new ventures and new technologies that actually our state has benefited from. So I think we should not forget that. So first of all, remembering that we are talking about a small number of students that otherwise will not, you know, we're not talking about thousands, we're talking about a few hundred across the entire 23 CSU campus. And secondly, these students, many of them have been successful contributors even after they have graduated. I mean, look at the fact that so many of our first ventures, especially in technology area, has been started by many of these immigrants and international students who have ended up getting a H-1B visa and helping our economy. So I think we have to look at all of this holistically. I think the key is how can we really make sure that every, you know, right now, if you look at the number of increases and of students both in Arizona and in Oregon is because of so many Californians cannot getting into our California university system, be that at UC or CSU. This is a very major issue, and I think I hope all of the Californians really realize what kind of a California we really would like to have. How can Californians really have the imagination and the mental fortitude for our public legislators to really take the hard decisions and look at the future of California and invest in our youth, because they are the future of our California. And whether it's in the fall term or spring term or any time when a Californian eligible student cannot enter into college, I think it's a travesty for all of us, that all of us as citizens of the state, we should really take that seriously.
And Mo Kayomi again is president of San Jose State University. And Laura is our next caller. Laura, you're on. Good morning.
Yeah. Hi. As a student who just graduated with a bachelor's degree trying to apply for graduate school, you know, I recognize that higher education in California is significantly more subsidized by the state, but, and I'm certain I don't speak for everybody, but I would be more than happy to pay, you know, the out-of-state tuition or international student tuition if that was offered. But to say that I shouldn't even apply just seems ridiculous, and to send California students out-of-state just suggests that, you know, we're neither appreciated nor even wanted in our state. So, you know, why would we work to make our state better when it's not even supporting us at all?
Well, I thank you for that call. And I wonder, Mike Uhlenkamp, what you have to say to that. I mean, we're getting some emails that seem to corroborate the view that we just heard from Laura. She would be willing to pay what graduate students pay who are from other countries or out of state. And why not consider that rather than discriminate or rather than exclude?
Again, it's not an issue of us being able to accept. It's a capacity issue. And unfortunately, we just can't charge students a higher rate. It's actually against the law. So, you know, again, we're talking about a very, very small group of students who we don't even know if they're coming yet. Because, again, there's an admissions process. They have to be accepted, and then they have to enroll. So if a campus says we're going to open the doors and allow you to apply, we have no idea if they're coming or not. So, you know, the graduate students are coming in the spring. Again, it's not a very big number. It's a capacity issue where there could be programs, such as at San Jose or at East Bay, that if they wanted to, could look to enroll a handful of students. That's the only difference. You know, I mean, there's not necessarily the funding that exists for residents of California, and that's the unfortunate part of this whole entire thing. We've had cuts. We've had millions and millions of $1 billion in cuts, and those are the things that we're dealing with right now. So, again, it's an issue of whether or not the state of California wants to fund public higher education and allow California to be great again.
Well, here's Paul, who sends the following email. The message California is sending is that we don't want to continue subsidizing the cost of education for our residents. I do not support this practice, but it is the corner we are backing schools into. And here's another caller from Pleasanton. Ken, you're on.
Well, I just had my question answered. It seems ridiculous to me that it's against the law for me to actually pay for the education instead of somebody who's a foreign student. That is, if I wanted to go to graduate school and the state doesn't want to fund me, that it's against the law for me to pay for myself and take the slot. We built the facilities for California residents. At the end of the day, it's got to be California residents who have first shot at all this stuff. And if they need to pay for it out of their own pocket, they ought to be allowed to. What is it going to take to get the legislature to make that particular change?
Well, as we've said a lot, and I think you can pretty much give credence to this, President Koyami or Professor Nieto. A lot is going to depend on the November ballot issue that's coming from the governor's office. But let me go to more of our callers here. Eric, you're on. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I'm an attorney in California, and what I find interesting about this conversation is I think the CSU representatives are dancing around the issue that the practice that they're employing is overtly discriminatory. I don't care if it's 500 people or one out-of-state resident that's being admitted into a CSU system when no California residents are being permitted solely on the basis of their residency status. I think that's unconstitutional. I'd love to see a challenge to this.
All right. Did you say you're a lawyer?
I am.
Well, there's some,
I'd like to be in touch with you.
Yeah, I think Maria Nieto would like to talk to you, and I thank you for that call. Let me get to another caller here. And John, thanks for waiting. Join us.
Hi. I think the purpose of the budget cuts for the higher education was so the schools would make, you know, do with less money. And instead, what's happening is that schools are getting money from out-of-state students and continuing their practices. And I think the response of blaming the state for budget cuts for doing this does not justify doing this. They could cut the programs, like your lady guest said, or just not do this.
But Professor Nieto, you can certainly empathize with the notion that the CSU system is up against the wall here. Revenue has never been cut so stringently. Things are desperate, in other words. Desperate measures have to be taken, one could argue, in desperate times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I see it firsthand. But I have to ask the question, what's the balance between administration, faculty, and staff to ensure delivery of quality education to our students? And are there more cuts that could be made, in particular at the administration level, that aren't being made to ensure that our students get adequate access to education?
Let me thank the caller. And here's a listener, President Koyami, who says, Eric wrote on our Facebook wall, San Jose State is also limiting students to 15 units this fall, making it harder for students to graduate on time.
Again, that 15 units is to make sure that there will be adequate classes for all students. And all of that is because of limiting the enrollment. I think going back to the call that the earlier caller made, see, when the state funds us at a particular level, that also determines that based on their funding, they are financing so many students. That really is the – and actually, as I said earlier, San Jose State and many other CSUs are accommodating and serving far more students than they are being funded for. I think that really is the key. But and also coming back to the November election, I mean, I think I hope all of the listeners recognize that if Prop 30 does not pass, it will mean more cuts, and actually the CSU will be in University of California and community college will be forced to limit their enrollment even further, which really means more perpetual economic downturn for California.
So well, let me add just one positive note here to that. The Assembly passed a measure actually earlier this week to fund college scholarships by eliminating a corporate tax break. So this means there's a possibility of moving along a trajectory closer to a big tuition break if the Senate approves, and we can reduce actually possible tuition for students whose parents make less than $150,000 a year for what it was to nearly a decade ago. But in the meantime, we will have to follow this story and see where it leads us. I want to express appreciation to all those who joined us on the discussion this morning. Maria Nieto here in studio, professor, Department of Biological Sciences at California State University East Bay, and Mo Koyami, who is president of San Jose State University, and Mike Uhlenkamp, spokesperson for the chancellor's office down in Long Beach. Thank you, our listeners, as well. Another segment of Forum is up ahead, and we are going to shift gears here in the segment up ahead. We're going to talk about putting great white sharks on the endangered species list, and I know there are many of you who say, well, we're endangered by great white sharks, aren't we? But they are, of course, vital to the ecosystem, and we're going to hear why some feel it's necessary and some feel it's not necessary to put them on the endangered species list. So I hope you'll stay tuned and stay with us. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.